You're finding your seat if you'll open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. It is good to be back with you all today. Thank you last week for welcoming Tim Hughes from First Baptist Port Angeles here as I was there. We had a fun little pulpit swap, and he only spoke very highly of his experience here with you all and how kindly you welcomed him. And it is good to be back. It's always just 1 week away is enough. And so good to be with you all this morning. We begin a two-part series today within the Lord's Prayer on forgiveness, because it seems there's a lot there and maybe too much for one service. And so this morning, we will look at the call to be forgiven and to forgive others. And next week, the big question of what if the one with whom our hearts most needs to forgive is God himself? And how do we enter into that conversation in that place? So make plans now to hear both parts of this message. Matthew 6, verses 9 through 15. Pray then in this way: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us to the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Would you pray with me? Father God, now in this place, I do pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts might be pleasing to you, our rock and our Redeemer. And now as we turn to your word, would your Spirit move freely in this place to help us hear what it is you want us to hear, so that you might help us be who it is you want us to be, so that you might help us do what it is you want us to do. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. We continue the series on the Lord's Prayer. Today's portion, perhaps the one that you've been looking forward to for weeks. Forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Notice from the very beginning, in the entirety of the Lord's Prayer, this is the one and only thing that we commit to do. The only thing. Everything else in the prayer is God's action. We say, God, your kingdom come, your will be done. You give us bread. You don't bring us into trial. God, you deliver us. And yet there's only one thing that Jesus asks us to kind of commit back to God to do, and that is forgive. Kind of a bummer, isn't it? I'd rather Jesus ask me to eat healthy and exercise, or maybe be nice to strangers, or give 10% of what I've got, any of those things, and they're all good things. But when he gets down to it in this prayer, the one thing that Jesus expects his followers to commit to is forgiving as they are forgiven. He knows it's hard, and he asks us anyway. And Jesus asks us to forgive others, and from the very beginning, he's reminding us that this isn't something that he hasn't already willingly done himself. Before we can take seriously God's call to forgive those in our lives who have hurt us, we must first stop and take seriously God's choice to forgive us for the hurt that we have done. You see, we serve a God who has only ever been good to us. We serve a God who has only ever chosen to love us, even on our very worst day, even when we refused to love him back. We serve a God who has watched us turn our backs on him more times than we can count. And yet here we sit in this place and we have this God who continues to gladly receive our praise. As we open his word, we have this God who still continues to speak to our hearts. As we break bread at his table in a few moments, we have this God who still continues to speak over us, my life for yours. We have a God who knows the depths of our hearts. He knows those places that we hide from everyone else, those places of shame, those thoughts that we wish we had some control over, that pride within us that we detest, the indifference that scares us, the things that we do when no one is looking that embarrass us. And yet he chooses to call us beloved, chosen, redeemed. We serve this God who any given day could be totally justified in his choice to hold our mess against us and to refuse to ever even look at us again. We serve a God who could so easily say, you know, it's just too hard to keep you people around. It's just too painful to have to keep remembering again and again how you hurt me. It's just too risky knowing you'll probably eventually just hurt me again. And yet, every single day, we have this God who says his mercies are new. He chooses to be with us and for us again and again. Every single day we have this God who absolutely refuses to let sin have the final say in the way our lives are going to go. Every single day we have a God who chooses another way. We have this God who sent his own Son to the cross to do all that he had to do to forgive us for what we alone had done. Who sent his own Son to the cross to change the story, a story from those who were lost to those who were found, from those who were condemned to those who were set free, from those who were dead to those who live, from those who were in despair to those who have a great hope, from those who could never make things right to those who have been called forgiven. We, all of us, are a people in desperate need of some kind of God who just might be slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. And the good news is, we, all of us, have just that kind of God. Yeah. There have been times in all of our lives when we knew without a doubt that we did not stand a chance without him. We, all of us, have found ourselves in a desperate place from time to time where we're just begging God for mercy, begging him not to hold our sins against us, not to let what we've done completely undo us, where we've stood there and begged him for grace, for maybe just one more chance. And the fact that we're in this place together today tells me that even in your darkest moment, even in your place of deepest shame, it seems you encountered a God who still chose to have room for you. You encountered a God who still had a story to tell through you. A story where your sins against him would not have the final say. We have been forgiven. And every single day we wake up and it happens again and again and again. Our God forgives. And not because our sin doesn't hurt him, but because at the cross, he chose for our story of bondage and death to go another way. Why? Just because his heart wanted it to be another way. Sometimes I fear we can be in church so long, we can be trying our darndest to walk the straight and narrow for so many years that we come to this place where we kind of begin to forget how desperate we are for God's forgiveness. It becomes just kind of normal, just what we get. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Whenever we begin to forget how much we need it, how much we need his grace and his forgiveness, it sure becomes hard to be grateful for the miracle of it. In Luke chapter 7, we find this story of this lady who comes into this home where Jesus is eating with a bunch of religious people. They're the types who have been walking with God long enough to think that they pretty much had things figured out. They were the types who hadn't committed any of the really big sins recently. The types of guys who pretty much, you know, hadn't had to stop and beg for forgiveness in any recent time. And in the midst of their dinner party with Jesus and these religious people who were doing pretty much all the right things, a woman comes barging in. And it's not just any woman, but Luke says she is a sinner. Now, to be called a sinner in Luke means you did something really, really bad. Like the kind of sins that we don't really talk about in church. That's why he just says she's a sinner. You fill in the blanks. She comes into Jesus with this jar of costly perfume, and before him she begins to weep. Her knees hit the floor, and there she is, washing Jesus' feet with her tears, making a scene. It doesn't make any sense. She begins to pour this perfume all over him. These religious guys who haven't had to ask for forgiveness for a long time, they're watching the whole deal, and they just don't get it. And they ask Jesus, how could you let this sinner touch you like that? And Jesus begins to tell them a story about these two guys who had their debts canceled. He said there was one who owed a whole lot, another who didn't owe all that much, but they both were canceled. And he says, which of these do you think will love the one who forgave their debts more? The religious guy was pretty smart, and he said, well, of course, the one who owed more. Bingo, Jesus says. With great forgiveness comes great love. And he looks at that woman, and he says, your sins are forgiven. Go in peace, my child. Go in peace. With great forgiveness comes great love. You struggling to love God with all you've got these days? Is it a struggle? I ask, when's the last time that you sat at Jesus' feet and through genuine tears simply begged him for mercy? Are you struggling these days to be grateful? Do you feel like what comes out of your heart, what out of your mouth is just complaints after complaints? I ask you, when's the last time you stood in God's presence long enough to admit you actually don't have anything figured out? That you're just as desperate for his grace today as you were on that very first day you met him? When's the last time you named your mess, looked all of your sin in the face, all of it, and with a humble heart, truly begged God for forgiveness again and again? And when's the last time in that very vulnerable place you found yourself like this lady in Luke chapter 7, where all of a sudden in this place of great sin, you were looking your Savior in his eyes as he looked back at you directly into your heart and you heard those words, your sins are forgiven because I have chosen to allow your story to go another way, where your sin doesn't have the final say. Go in peace, my child. Go in peace. When's the last time you delved into this great need for forgiveness? With great forgiveness comes great love. It turns out only the forgiven will have what it takes to forgive, because it's hard. What do you need to do today to let your heart become overwhelmed once again by this incredible gift of forgiveness that you have freely received? What do you need to do? You struggling to love one another? We've got this invitation to get back in touch with our own need for forgiveness. Let's commit to doing whatever it takes to get back into that place today. And then receiving forgiveness, we now are ready to participate in God's goodness by offering forgiveness to one another. Sounds exciting, doesn't it? We get to go out into the world and offer forgiveness. This is the good news. And I didn't get any amens. Because I know, even still, with this good news we've been forgiven, forgiveness is still really, really hard. I get it. There you go. In the riots following the Rodney King verdict, Reginald Denny was dragged from his truck and viciously beaten by his raging gang. After his painful recovery, he met face to face with his attackers. He shook hands with them, and one by one, he forgave them. A reporter was commenting on the scene, and he wrote, "It is said that Mr. Denny is suffering brain damage." You see, forgiveness is hard. So hard, when the world sees it, they have no idea what to do with it. A few weeks ago, I was talking to a friend from my former church back in Texas, and she was telling me about this beloved young couple in the church and how the man had cheated on his wife earlier in that year, and the whole church was just devastated. They were walking alongside this young woman trying to help her put the pieces of her own life back together. And then she said just a few months ago, he decided to come home, and he begged her for forgiveness, and she let him back in. And this friend was telling me about how she and most of the women in the church were really struggling with how quickly this wife let her husband back. They were skeptical if she could really possibly mean it, if he was really sorry. Good church people, all wondering together, can forgiveness really happen just like that? Because we know forgiveness is hard. So hard that even when Christians see it, we don't always really know what to do with it. Why is that? Why is it so foreign to us? Why is it so hard? Maybe because we live in a world that is simply full of bad advice on how to do this whole forgiveness thing. You see, it seems that when we've been wronged, we're supposed to choose between one or two extremes in our response to that wrong. We're either told to cut everyone slack and just say, you know, we're all broken. You know, it's not all that bad, is it? That kind of stuff. Hurt people, the cliches that don't quite add up. These things that tell us to treat the sins done against us as if they really aren't that big of a deal. The world's just messed up. Nobody's perfect. Who am I to judge? Haven't I hurt people too? They say, you know, ignore the pain. Downplay the hurt and just move on with life the best you can, as if what happened to you doesn't warrant the anguish you feel, the tears that you have. The other option is to go the other extreme when we've been hurt, and that's to hold the wrongdoer to the fire, to never let him off the hook. They've messed up my life, and now I have every right to see to it that theirs is messed up just the same. This is to be so consumed by the pain that we refuse to find a life apart from it. And so we hold on with white-knuckled fists to this identity of victim, and in so doing, we keep the other one labeled as perpetrator, offender, sinner, forevermore. Our story and their story both stuck in the sin for good. Yes, maybe forgiveness is hard because our world just really stinks at giving advice on what forgiveness is. It gives us such limited options on how to even get there. Do I just act like it's nothing, or do I act like it's everything? You see, forgiveness is not to pretend. Forgiveness is not to forget. Forgiveness is not to downplay. Forgiveness is not to walk around as a helpless victim who can't do anything because I chose to forgive. Forgiveness is not to demand justice, nor is it to give up on justice. Forgiveness is something different altogether. True forgiveness. Acknowledges real pain. It admits that something done to me really did hurt me. And perhaps because of it, I will never be the same. True forgiveness, it looks this pain square in the face. It names it. It sobs over it. And when that box of tissues has run out and we look at this wadded mess of snot and tears, it says, because of Jesus Christ, even still I will hold out hope that this story can go another way. Fred Craddock, one of my favorite preachers, tells a story about a 6-year-old boy who was running through the house. And his mom tells him to stop running through the house because he might stumble and fall and break something. Of course, he ran and he stumbled and he fell and he broke a vase. His father saw this happen, and when he did, he went over and he picked up the boy and he said, "Don't worry about it. It's just a vase." But the boy's mother, she went over and she knelt down. She picked up the broken pieces and she said quietly, "It wasn't just a vase. It was my favorite vase. My mother gave it to me and her mother gave it to her, and I was looking forward to giving it to my children." And she cried. And the little boy cried. And the mother hugged the boy and he hugged her back. And he asked, "Who forgave here? The father or the mother?" The mother, of course. As she faced the pain, she named it. She wept over it. And she embraced her boy in the midst of it, saying, "The broken vase isn't going to remain. Our story will go on in some other way." And my friends, even as I preach this message and this little illustration, I know what has happened to you in this room, to so many of you in this room, cannot even begin to compare to a broken vase. I've heard your stories of abuse and of neglect, of being betrayed and being walked out on. When we ask Jesus to forgive us, as we forgive those who did even these things to us, hear this, he is not asking us to simply stuff down or ignore the pain. We follow in the footsteps of this Jesus who did anything but avoid pain on the road to forgiveness. Openly, he wept over the sins of Jerusalem. In the garden, he cried out to his father about how much this forgiveness stuff was going to hurt. On the cross, as he was mocked and spit upon, he didn't escape the pain. He didn't pretend like it didn't bother him, but he looked his persecutors right in the face between the sighs and the groans, and he cried out, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." His suffering was great. His pain, he faced it and he felt it, and even still, somehow, his forgiveness was genuine. Not by avoiding the pain, but by naming it. And on that cross, determining not to remain a victim of it. You see, forgiveness for Jesus meant that he would let us know just how much our sins did cost him. And he would also let us know just how determined he was never to let our sins and our hurt have the final say. He was always about another story. And in commanding us to forgive, then, Jesus isn't just asking us to become this big class of doormats in the world. Jesus is not the least bit interested in setting up a society of victims to just be victimized again and again. In commanding us to forgive, what he's actually doing is Jesus is inviting us to take charge in turning this crazy world upside down. Forgiveness. This is where we get to throw a monkey wrench into this never-ending cycle of victimization and vengeance and hatred and resentment. You guys, these things are killing us. These things are devastating our relationships, not just with the ones that did it to us, with everyone else. And these things are tearing our world apart. When Jesus says, forgive, he's not asking us to silently suffer the hurt or to just sit back and patiently wait for some day when all things will be all right. What he's doing is asking us instead to rise up and to take charge right here and right now, to turn things around right here and right now, to choose to be victors rather than victims right here and right now. This is what happens when we forgive. We see the pain. We acknowledge it is real right now. And even still, we refuse to let that pain have the final say. And we refuse because we're living in another story. We're living in a story that's always been bigger than a story of sin and a pain. We're living in a story whose center is a king. Whose center is a king who came to the earth and on this earth was rejected by most, betrayed by his closest friends, questioned by his family, abused by authorities, publicly humiliated, broken to pieces. He understands being sinned against, my friends. We enter this story whose center is a king who absolutely refused to let these pains have the final say. He didn't ignore them. He didn't stuff them. He still has the scars on his arms to remember them. But he chose to move forward, creating a story even greater than them. I guarantee you, there are more folks on this earth today that are aware of the empty tomb than of the scarred hands in heaven. Because Jesus' heart was to move us beyond the pain of sin, to enter us into the life of freedom through forgiveness, right here and right now, not by ignoring the sins done against him, but by seeing them, by feeling the pain of them, and by choosing to offer another way to live together in spite of them. A few weeks ago, I was listening to a sermon from another of my favorite pastors, Craig Barnes. He talked about growing up in a preacher's home. His dad was a faithful minister for most of his childhood, and he looked up to his dad. He's a preacher himself. But when he was 16, Craig Barnes' dad just took off one day, left his family, left the ministry, just went away, cut off ties to everyone. They never really knew what happened, but for the next decade of his life, Craig was angry. He ended up dropping out of school and kind of roaming around trying to find himself. He was hurt. He couldn't make sense of how his dad could neglect him, neglect his call. Who was this man he had come to love? And in his adult life, he said that his dad became ill, and he and his brother had to make this conscious choice to step back into his life and care for him as he was aging. They had to come together and choose to forgive him. And he was asked over and over, why? Why would you do that? Why would you forgive your dad? And he says, you know what, to be honest, I just got tired of being mad. He said, one day I just woke up and realized this resentment I held toward my dad was like me taking rat poison and expecting him to die. He said, it was killing me. And I just got tired. He said, I needed another story, one that freed me to go on, to live life, to love, and to be glad, and one that freed my dad to do the same. And it was a story that had to come by the way of forgiveness. In my last position, there was a fellow minister that I struggled with for months. We had been in a meeting together where he did and said some very hurtful things, and I just couldn't let my disappointment in him go. It came to a point where when I would even hear his voice in the office, it could be all the way across the office, I would feel resentment coming within me and strangling my own heart where I could barely breathe. Finally, one day, I realized, like Craig Barnes, that I was just tired of being mad. I was tired of being the victim of a meeting gone wrong. And so in tears one day, I approached him and I asked to talk. And I said, can we just sit here until we figure out where things went wrong? I'm tired. I'm tired of sitting in this place. I need another story. I need one that will free us to serve God together, to love and be glad. And it was a story that had to come by the way of forgiveness. About 2,000 years ago, we have this God who just got tired, who got weary of the sin, of the pain on earth, weary of the ways he was mistreated and betrayed. And what did he do? But chose to enter into the fullness of that pain and come out of it with a different story to tell. A story that didn't for a second take sin lightly, but nor did it let sin keep love away. And that's the Christian forgiveness in a nutshell. Another option altogether. It's the option that feels the pain and chooses the path of love anyway. Why? Because that's when everything changes. That's when the world has no clue how to make sense of it. That's when they say it must be brain damage. This pain and this love going hand in hand. That's when the kingdom we're praying to come actually begins to sneak in and comes. When we feel the pain and make a conscious choice to love anyway. Because we've got a Savior who said love is always going to be a choice. And it will always be the better story. It will always be the better way. A love story that comes by way of forgiveness. I asked this morning, are you tired yet? Are you tired of sitting in the same old story of resentment and pain? Has it been long enough yet to just flat wear you out? Have you gained a single good thing from it? We are invited to tell another story in this place. A love story. A story that refuses to let sins committed against us have the final say. Even better than just telling that story, let's live it. Because I'm convinced to be happy in Jesus, there's no other way than, Father, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. For your own soul's sake, let's live this story, this forgiveness way, because really there's no other way. Would you pray with me? Father God, that you look at us, you know the depths of our heart, and you love us the same, that you offer forgiveness to us, not by ignoring the pain we've caused you, but by naming it. And sacrificing on our behalf because of it. And choosing to make a love story out of it. Thank you. And Father, for this call, as those who have been forgiven to go out and forgive, we simply ask for you to help us. The pain can be too great. The memories too strong. The reminders all around us of what has been done to us too many. And God, we can't always control our emotions and our impulses and what happens in our hearts when those hard places arise. Help us. Help us. Help us see what a love story might look like even in the most broken places, even among the people who have caused the most pain. And as you help us see, give us the courage to live out that story until your kingdom does come and until your will is done in our lives, just as it is in heaven. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.